I want to read for you today from 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, starting in verse 12. We're just going to use one paragraph, the last paragraph of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Listen to these words as Paul writes to the Corinth church. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. There's an old covenant, and there's a new covenant. And sometimes in the church, we throw away the old covenant because we say that's not the way anymore. But the old covenant was to bring people to a place where they could come to understand God and where they could come to understand what God was asking them to do. The problem was they had a difficulty understanding it. And I want to tell you the story first before we get into all of this of where Paul is bringing this thought from. It comes from the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, I believe the 34th chapter, Moses goes and speaks with God. And it says face to face. And when Moses comes out from spending time with God, the glory of God is shining off of Moses. And the glory is shining off in such a way that people become fearful of it. Now, just an aside for you. Can you not tell when people spend time with God? Can you not tell a change in the way they act, a change in the way they say things, a change in the way they do things? See, Moses had the opportunity to go and meet with God. And when he came out from spending time with God, he looked different. The Shekinah of God had shined upon him, and it caused him to glow. And it made the people very uncomfortable. So they asked Moses that after he would speak to them about what God would say, that he would cover his face with a veil so that they couldn't see that transformation that had happened for him because he had been in the presence of God. They asked him to cover his face with a veil. So Moses wore a veil after meeting with the Lord. He would go in and he would meet with the Lord and he would come out and share with the people and then he'd put on this veil. And Paul says that he would put on this veil. Listen to the way Paul describes this. He says, we are not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Does it mean the old covenant was passing away? I don't think so. What it means is when Moses went in, he would shine as he comes out, and over time of not going in to see the Lord, that shine, that glory, that brightness that came off of him would start to dim until he went to spend time with God again. Now, that informs me a little bit that we need to spend as much time with God as we can. We need to spend as much time with God as we can, because that's what brings about the transformation that Paul talks about in the end of this passage. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But when we spend time with God, it transforms us. It changes us. It causes us to become more Christ-like. And if we don't do that, then we become more human-like, more sin-like, more short-tempered, more frustrated, inability to show patience, fretting. Shall I go on, or have you got them all? Did you pick out the one I didn't name? That you see, when we spend time with God, we're transformed. We're changed. Now, here's an additional thing that Paul says happened to the people. They did not want to see Moses when he came out, because it was an uncomfortable feeling. It made them understand that they were not holy enough. It made them understand that their life was not pure enough. So would you please put a veil over your face, Moses? And then this led to the people's minds and hearts being veiled to God's word. It led, Paul says, to their minds and their hearts being veiled to God's words. There was a division between them and God's word. And it became a bigger separation because they were afraid to approach it. One of the reasons that I prefer something much smaller up here to stand behind is because when there's something much bigger, it creates a division between what I'm trying to share with you and you receiving it. I know you think it doesn't, but it does. I want to collapse that distance between me and you as I speak about God's word. I want it to be right there for you, not a far off distant thing, not something that's over there somewhere, and yes, that's nice about God's word. I wanted to collapse that distance. And by physically collapsing that distance, I know sometimes it makes you uncomfortable. I know of a lady in the previous church that I served at. If I ever stepped out from behind the pulpit, she couldn't hear me. She became very uncomfortable, and she did not like that. The pastor is supposed to stand right here and be a talking head and nothing else. I want to collapse that distance, because you need to step closer to God, just as I need to step closer to God. We all need to. And we all need to become more aware of what God's word is saying to us. And we need to approach that more and more and more. So I'm going to physically do what I can to try to collapse that distance so that it's not something that's far off. I've had many people tell me, I can't understand God's word. Do you know why? Because you have allowed a veil to exist between you and the word of God. You've allowed that to be there. And it causes, I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm not sure. And as I prepared this sermon this week, I could not stop thinking about what happened on Good Friday. I could not stop thinking about that at all. When Jesus died on the cross, it says the curtain between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, this is a curtain that's 30 foot tall, was ripped from the ceiling to the floor. Now, if you don't understand the imagery of the temple, the tabernacle, you may not get that whole thing. You see, the priests were allowed to come into the holy place. Once a day, they came in, made sure the showbread was okay, made sure the lamps were lit, made sure there was incense on the altar before this curtain. But only once a year did anybody go on the other side of the curtain, the holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. The stone tablets, Aaron or Moses's rod was in there, Aaron's rod was in there, and a jar of manna's in that. Now, nobody knows where the Ark of the Covenant is now. I know somebody's going to tell me, I've seen that movie. I know where it is. No. Nobody knows where it is today. But nobody was allowed to go back there except for once a year the priest could go back there. The high priest only, after he prepared himself. And it was such a scary event, even for the high priest, to walk behind that curtain into what was thought of as the very presence of God. You know what they did? Not only did he have bells around the bottom of his gown, but he had a rope tied to his leg. Because if he was not fully prepared to be in God's presence, God would strike him dead. And nobody else was prepared to go in and get him. So if the bells stop ringing, we pull on the rope to get him out of there. That's how sacred the Holy of Holies is. And when Jesus died on the cross, from 30 foot up all the way to the floor, the curtain was ripped in half. Do you know what that means? That is symbolic of the fact that we now can step into the Holy of Holies. The veil is gone between us and God's presence. You see, God's word and God's presence is veiled today until Christ takes the veil away. God's word is veiled to people today. There are lots of people in our society and around the world that do not understand God's word. Even the disciples who walked with Jesus didn't understand what he was telling them. Do you know why? There was still a veil there. There was still a division there. And that division caused a separation. Scripture talks about sin being that division. And until Jesus Christ can take that sin away from us, there's a division. And even as a believer, every time you play with sin, oh, you know, the little white lie, guess what? That's still a lie. Do you not understand that? I don't care what you call it, it's still a lie. Or I'll do some interfering right now. That gossip that you spread, that you don't know whether it's true or not, that's a sin. And sin causes a division between you and God. It's time for you to come closer to Christ so that that veil can disappear. So that it is torn, that it is gone, that you can approach Christ. And what this scripture tells us is that once people become unveiled, people should follow a path of transformation. Once that veil drops and is gone between you and God, it is now a life of transformation. The technical word for that is sanctification. It's a time of learning to be more like Jesus Christ. It's a time of change. It's a time of allowing God to put God's hands upon you and to mold you and make you into something different. Do you hear what I'm saying? Transformation. Change. We already discussed this morning in Growing in Christ this morning that there are sometimes that change is an absolutely wonderful thing, isn't it? Does anybody agree with that? I know some of you are a little hesitant. You're afraid to agree with that. Change is good. Now, not all change is good, but change can be good. And one of the things that when we come to know God's Word better and we come to understand God better and living deeper with God and being more in God's presence and listening to what God's saying to us, that veil goes away and things start to change about us. I haven't always been who you know me to be. And I would venture to say the person I was before Christ is not a person that you would like at all. I know for a fact it's not a person that you would hire to be your pastor. I know that for a fact. And I also know for a fact that my wife didn't marry a pastor. And didn't marry a good Christian. And I have changed. Because of being in God's presence. Some of the things have fallen away. Some of the things I wish would fall away. There's still temptations to go back and live the old way. That temptation will always be there. It's never going to go away. I fell to it once, and I hope never to fall to it again. Change, transformation. Mold me, make me, form me, guide me. In case you didn't catch the words to the prelude today. Holy Spirit, fall fast on me. Mold me, make me. Change me, transform me, guide me in the proper path, in the proper way. Getting rid of the veil, first by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and recognizing what He did for me, that my sin could be put as far as the east is from the west. What an incredible thing. Now God looks down upon me and says, "This is my beloved child." And God does the same when God looks at you. Once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that veil drops away. Now, does that mean that I automatically understand the Word of God when the veil drops away? Just as when the veil in the temple was torn, people only had a concept of what was behind it. Now they could walk in and see it. Now they could witness what it was. Now they could see. I can describe something to you, but you might not get it, right? No matter how hard I describe and what kind of words I use, you may not get the same picture that I've got in my mind. But when you can see it, and when you can start to look at it and start to understand it, Folks, you've got to be in God's Word. You have got to be in God's Word daily. You've got to be reading it. You got to be thinking about it. You got to be meditating on it, not just reading a devotional. There are tons of wonderful devotionals out there that can help you. They are to be used as a tool to get you closer to God, not just as something that you go, well, I read that for today. They're used as a tool to deepen your relationship with God, to help take away the veil. It's normally one person's understanding of what happened when they read a certain scripture. And what I want to ask you to think about, why always lean on a devotional and read somebody else's experience? Why not have your own? Your own experience of getting to know God better. Why not have your own? Instead of just relying on somebody else's experience and what you can get out of it. You see, we should become an ever-increasing reflection of the Lord. The hope is, and what Paul's talking about in this passage, just like Moses, if we go in and spend time with God, it brings about transformation that then carries over when we walk away. And other people can see it. Have you ever met anybody that you know is a Christian, and no matter what goes on, there seems to be a peace for them that surpasses anything you can explain? You ever met people like that? That's what God wants to happen for you. The same thing. And other people should be able to tell that you've spent time with God. Other people should notice that something has transformed, that the clay has been molded into something else. And we should become to look more and more like our Lord Jesus every day. Every time we spend time in the Word, every time we spend time in prayer, every time we spend interacting with other Christians, every time we share what the Lord means to us, to people who have yet to come to meet Him. One of the things I'll never forget that I learned from an African theologian when I was in Africa, and some of you have heard me mention this before, but I want to bring this image to you again. Original African houses were built much different than ours. Ours tend to be square or rectangular, L-shaped. African houses were round. The roof was held up mainly by one center pole in the house. Take that center pole out, the roof collapses, and so do the walls. The African theologian, Dr. Wurutu, told us that Americans and Europeans tend to have their relationship with God in one room in their house. And what he's talking about is we section our lives off in different sections, don't we? Well, this is where I meet with this club, and this is where I do this, and this is what I do with my kids. And he says, it's just like your architecture. You have different rooms for the whole thing. And your religion, your relationship with God tends to be a room in your house. He says, for us Africans, our religion's that center pole of the house. You take it out and the whole house collapses. Where when you have just one room and the one room collapses, You still got the other rooms to live in, don't you? Is your relationship with God the center pole for your house? Gosh, I was so glad when he taught me that. Or is your relationship with God one part of your life? That's a question all of us need to ask. Because when the veil drops, because we believe in Jesus Christ, it should be our whole life, shouldn't it? Not just part of our lives, our whole life. Because Jesus gave his whole life. He didn't give part of it for us. He gave his whole life, trusting that God could have victory over death. He didn't want to, because he said what? Lord, take this cup away from me. I don't want to walk this path. If there is any other way, take this away from me. So I want to ask you this as we transform from here to a time of communion. Is the veil removed for you? And is your transformation ongoing? Is the veil removed? And is your transformation ongoing? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging that you're the great I am, and that you have so many blessings prepared for us. But you wait for us to come on the other side of the veil, a veil that we can't drop, but a veil that does drop when we trust Jesus Christ. But then sometimes, Lord, we try to find a place to hide because we feel uncomfortable by what your word is telling us. Lord, help us. Please help us. That we might be so willing to step right into the Holy of Holies. Sit in your presence and be transformed by your glory and your Shekinah. Transformed and made into a person that better reflects Jesus Christ. So Lord, right now as we prepare for communion, help us to search our hearts to see what needs to be let go of, to see how we need to stop hiding, and to see how we best can walk the path that you desire for us to walk, full of blessings and promises, and full of allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us to touch other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.